If you will be turning in your Bibles to the book of Titus. The book of Titus. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Titus 2, 1 through 10. And while you're turning over there, I'd like to wish everybody a good morning. Hope your day is going well so far. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad to have you worship here with us. Please fill out one of these yellow visitors cards and give it to one of the members, and we'd love to have a record of your attendance with us. I'm sure most of us in here are familiar with the old saying, honesty is the best policy. Have you heard that? But when we really stop and think about it, according to the Bible, isn't honesty the only policy in reality? The Bible wants us to be honest. It's good and healthy to tell the truth. And sometimes speaking the truth means we're going to have to be blunt and straight to the point. For example, I don't like going to the doctor, but I do from time to time. You go to a doctor, right? You want the doctor to be honest with you. And I think about doctors, and doctors really want the same thing that you want. They want you to be healthy in the end. So if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, we began a study here in the book of Titus. And in chapter 1, the beginning of this book, Paul addresses or identifies himself as being a bondservant of the Lord. And he's a servant of God. And then he moves in from that discussion to talking about having elders in the church. And there was a reason for that. If you remember, he was writing this letter to Titus, the evangelist who was working on the island of Crete. And the people of Crete didn't have a very good reputation. And it was influencing the church. And there were people that had false ideas that were rising to power in these congregations. And so Paul was instructing Titus to go about to these various congregations and help them correct the things that was lacking. And what was lacking was the godly leadership that God had intended. And so a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about that in the description of these leaders, the elders. And we also found that the elders had a difficult task before them. It was to correct those that were teaching false things, correcting those that were deceiving entire families, that was causing them to fall away from the Lord. And so it was a big responsibility that the eldership had back then, and they still have that same responsibility today. Hebrews 13, verse 17 tells us that they're going to give an account for those that they lead. And so on the day of judgment, our elders will have to answer for the leadership here at the Hazel Park Church of Christ. But you know, Christians have a responsibility as well. The responsibility that Christians have is to listen to their elders, to obey them, to pray for them. We need to love them. We need to support them. You know, we need to be working together. Working together in the same mind with the same goal, striving to get to heaven. We all want to be in heaven. We need to work together cooperatively in that. And we want to bring as many people to heaven with us that we possibly can. And so this morning, as we continue on in the book of Titus, Paul's going to shift from talking about elders and their work, but now he's getting into a section specifically talking with Christians and Christian character. And I've simply titled today's lesson, Christian Character in Action. Because again, the way we live is going to have an impact on society around us, and it's going to have an impact of whether we are winning souls to Christ or not. Remember this. Keep this in mind. The words of Jesus. Jesus says, you are a light to the world. And so this morning, as we look through our text here in Titus 2, starting in verse number 1 through 10, we're going to actually see that Paul addresses three different groups of people. Now, we can lay this out in various ways. In fact, I laid it out one way in my outline, and then I reworked it, and I changed it. So you can look at it in a couple of different ways, but we're going to look at three groups of people that Paul is reminding Titus to preach to. So notice, if you have your Bibles open, verse number 1, Paul says, "But as for you," and he's speaking to Titus, "speak the things which are proper for" what? "For sound doctrine." Now, I'm just going to pause there for a minute. That word "sound" isn't necessarily things that are audible that we hear. But in the Greek, it's where we get our English word hygiene. So we think of it healthy. So Paul is giving instruction to Titus to teach healthy doctrine. And here we go. Verse number 2, "that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience." Verse 3, "the older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech," healthy speech, in other words, "that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." And verse number 9, "exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in" how many things? It says "in all things." So what three groups did Paul talk to here? Or what three groups did Paul instruct Titus to preach to these healthy things? Number one, he gives instruction to Christian men. Right? We could break this up again in different ways, but let's just, because he opens up the section talking to men, let's first talk to the men for a few minutes. And we can actually see there's two subsections of men that he talks to. And the first group of men is the older men, right? Verse number 2, older men. One person described this particular group of men as the graybeards. That would be the men that you come in and they're clearly older by their hair or by their beards. And my understanding of this is that if you were of 40 years or older, you were considered older. And if you were 39 and younger, then you would have been younger. And so don't come looking at my beard, because I do have a few gray hairs in there. In fact, my dad told me about that a few weeks ago. Well, thanks, Dad. Thanks for reminding me. Yes, I would fall into that category of being an older man. And notice what Titus was to instruct and to teach and to remind these older Christian men how they should live. Sober. That would be clear-minded, okay? Reverent. Temperate. Sound in the faith. Sound in love and patience. So it would clearly stand to reason that these older men then would be maturing. And this sounds like a person that is more mature, more level-headed, more clear-minded, reverent and respectful of God and godly things, a person that's in control of themselves, a person that is sound, healthy in the gospel, a person that has a healthy love and respect for people. And love isn't just mushy, gushy love. And this is something that I think men really struggle with, right? You start talking to guys about love and you start thinking of the Hallmark Channel or the romance novels, and that's not what it is. This is agape love. This is the highest form of love. This is the type of love that you are willing to do things for other people and not expect anything in return. This is the kind of love that God had for you, and it still has for humanity. And we learn love by looking at God and what he did for us. And obviously, older men, we need to work on having patience. So that's the first group of men. Then there's the second group. You notice there's no middle-aged group here either. It's just you're either older or you're younger. So younger men, Titus was to exhort them. To exhort means to call alongside, to call somebody to your side and to explain to them and to teach them. So guess what, older men? You have a responsibility to the younger men in the congregation to teach them about the importance of being sober-minded. And let me interject here real quick. I believe Titus was a younger man because we see there within the text, let's see, verse number 7, where Paul says, in all things showing yourself, right? He's talking to Titus, but Titus fell into that category of a younger man. You need to show yourself to be what? A pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity. Again, being reverent, having reverence and incorruptibility. What Paul was telling Titus was practice what you preach. Practice what you believe. Younger people, Christian younger men, practice what you claim to believe. Be sound of speech. Healthy talking. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. That's sometimes hard for guys, isn't it? I know it's in our day and age, right? And back a long time ago, it used to be men would watch what they say around women. Nowadays, everybody has loose tongues. So it's not just men, but everybody needs to watch the kind of speech that comes out of their mouth. See, the purpose of all this is to live different. It's to live different so the word of God may not be blasphemed. And that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, Paul says, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, Paul is reminding us. He was reminding them, and he's reminding us today to not be hypocrites. A hypocrite, if you look at the etymology of the word and the way that it was used in the New Testament, was one that was an actor. Don't act. What you see is what you get. That's the way it should be. And again, let me say this. This was addressed to the men, but applies to the women as well. That we are to live and act different than the world. You know the old saying, when in Rome, do as the Romans. I've never heard this, but maybe somebody has said this along through time. If you live in Corinth, live like the Corinthians, don't do it. Don't live like them. In fact, the Corinthians have become known as living promiscuous lives. Whatever city or country you may find yourself living in as a Christian, the reminder is time and again in the Bible, don't pattern your life after the world around you. Don't pattern your life like the culture that is around you. That was the reminder for Titus to preach to the people, to the men and women on the island of Crete. And I believe if Paul were writing to us here in the United States today, he would say the same exact thing. Why? Because the words that he wrote in Romans chapter 12. In verse number 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we read instruction here in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, to Christian men. But we also read instruction to Christian women as well, didn't we? And again, just as Paul addressed older men and younger men, he addresses older women and younger women. So let's talk to the older women first. Notice here in our text, he reminds them to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. That is, don't go around talking about other people. Not to be given much, and not to be given to much wine. And you're to be teachers, he says. Now, this behavior was clearly different than the way the culture was picturing women on Crete of that day. In fact, women were made fun of in their plays. They were looked down upon. In the first century, women were treated as property. You know what Paul is reminding women? He is saying, ladies, you have, older ladies, you have an important role to play in the family. Always remember that. Older women, you are teachers. You are to be teaching the younger women good things. In order to teach those good things, ladies, older ladies, you need to be those things yourself. What are those good things? Love your husband. Love your children. Be discreet. That is, be sensible. Be chaste. That is, be pure. Homemakers, good and kind, obedient to their own husbands. Older ladies, you lead by example. You lead by example. And did you notice, out of all those things that Paul mentions there, the emphasis of love? You know, things in life come and go. But as your children get older and they reflect back on their time at home, you want them to remember of the loving Christian home that they grew up in. And the purpose of this, ladies, is so that the word of God may not be blasphemed and dishonored. This is a reminder for all of us as Christians. People are watching. People are watching us. They're watching how we interact with them. They watch to see how we react to different situations that we're dealt with. And, you know, by our example, we can win souls to Christ. But also on the flip side of that, we could turn people away by our actions as well. And so Paul addresses men here in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Christian men. He also addresses Christian women. So who do you think the third set of instructions is to here in Titus 2, 1 through 10? Hopefully it showed up on the board. Christian bondservants. Christian bondservants. Again, if you remember back there in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul called himself a bondservant of God. A bondservant was a slave that primarily worked in their master's house, as opposed to the other slaves who worked out in the fields or mines or perhaps in some ships. And these bondservants were said to have more freedom than other slaves. And you know, sometimes people take advantage of those freedoms. And sometimes that's reflected in people's attitudes. And so this is a reminder that bondservants weren't to respond in certain ways because their master mistreated them. Because that's true. Sometimes these bondservants weren't always treated the nicest, were they? But that didn't give them the right to be spiteful and to be mean in return to their master. Instead, Paul reminds them to obey their masters, to be well-pleasing. Don't talk back. That is, don't argue. Don't pilfer. kind of an interesting word. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. People don't like that, but I don't know about you, but I'll raise my hand. I've not used that word pilfer in the last couple of weeks, but don't steal. That's what Paul is saying. Don't steal. Work in a way that shows all good fidelity or showing your faith to God. Guess what? There's a reason for all that. There's a point. There's a purpose. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. You see, when most of the world was being cruelly treated in slavery, Paul is reminding them. He's saying, listen, you can win souls to Christ too, despite your position in life. How? By being a good worker. This was not the only time that Paul addressed the way Christian bondservants should work. In fact, if you were listening to the scripture reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse number 22, as we read a few minutes ago, Paul began a section comparing marriage and the family with Christ and the church. And we've saw through that particular passage how husbands and wives have different roles, don't they? And I'm not sure why the people that put together the chapter and verse divisions, why they ended that section there in chapter 5 where they did. Because in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, still is talking about the home. Just Paul changes direction a little bit, and he tells children, listen, even you have a role in the family. And that role is to obey your parents. But even in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul again goes back to the dads, and he says, fathers, remember not to provoke your children. And then in Ephesians 6, verse 5, he says to the Christian bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. Does this give the Christian master, well, there were few and far between, there were some Christian masters who had slaves, did that give them the right to be mean and mistreat their servant? No, not at all. In fact, if you were to keep going in Ephesians 6, Paul in the very next verse says, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Now, do we have bondservants today? Do we have slaves today? Well, in the United States, we don't, at least not legally. But does this section in Titus chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 6 and other scriptures, does Paul talking to bondservants apply to us today? And I would say, yes, it does. The employee-employer relationship. And I want you to remember this week as we go back to work. Maybe some of you maybe work this evening, or you go back to work tomorrow or sometime this week. Remember who you're truly serving. You are serving God. And people are watching. If you're a Christian, they're watching you to see how you behaved at work. Remember in Titus chapter 1, verse number 12, several weeks ago, as we were opening up this particular book, and Paul reminded Titus that one of the Cretans' very own prophets described the people in Crete to be liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Wouldn't you say Cretan Christians were to have a different reputation than that. In order to do that, they needed to live different. They needed to behave different. They needed to put these Christian characteristics into action. Today, we need to be a people of action. As we are out there in our modern day Crete, we need to remember that we can change the world by the way of changing ourselves first. Do you know one of the first things you need to change if you are not a Christian is you need to get right with God. You need to obey the gospel. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that God is going to take vengeance and flaming fire those that do not know him and those that do not obey the gospel. What is the gospel? That's a good question. Paul said the gospel is why he went everywhere teaching and proclaiming, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. He taught the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel because that's the good news in a nutshell. But how do you obey that? How do we obey that? We follow the pattern. We follow the example of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, Paul says we need to put to death that old person of sin. If you're going to do that, you're going to repent. You're going to make a change to be obedient to God. You put Christ on and you bury the old person of sin, I should say. Bury them in the watery graves of baptism, where we contact the saving blood of Christ. We have our sins washed away, Acts 2, verse 38, Acts 22, verse 16. And we come up out of that water a new creation. That's just the beginning, isn't it? We continue to learn. We continue to grow. We continue to make changes as we make mistakes in our life, because we're not perfect. And when we make those mistakes, we have access to God. We can go to him and we can pray to him and ask him for forgiveness. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you're ready to put Christ on a baptism, we're here to help assist you. Or perhaps you're struggling with something in your life and you desperately need the prayers of the church. We're here for you as well. If you have a need and you'd like to make it known at this time, you can come forward. We're here to help assist you in any way that we can, as together we stand and as we're led in the invitation song.